right here is how we get our help to follow those statutes and the word of God. Amen. That's the word that will keep us, the word that will lead us and deliver us. Amen. We're living in a dangerous time. I was talking to Brother Ray here today and even yesterday. We're talking about what the government is doing to us with the abortion issue and with the mandatory vaccines. And there's a lot of things going on that the church needs to be crying out against. Amen. So we need to be ready. We need to be in a position of readiness, and we need to have the whole armor of God on that we might fight against the wiles of the devil. And at this time, my husband made a grand entrance, and we're going to greet him with a hearty amen. Yeah.
Truly, we do thank God for being here this evening, amen. And there's so much that's going on within our society. It's almost evil, some of the stuff that the government is passing, but the Bible lets us know that in these last days, man's heart will wax cold because of iniquity. That's iniquity is a disregard for God's law, amen. So truly, we do thank God for those that are here tonight. Thank God for blessing my wife still to be here. We thank God for all of you. Give yourself a hand praise tonight. Make it sound loud. Amen. Amen. But we want to continue our study from on Sunday. As I always say, Sunday, I kind of like skim through our message. But we're living in a time, an age where people inadvertently, mean they're not consciously aware of it, inadvertently they point a finger of blame at God and blame God for their circumstances and their conditions. Amen. But as we went over on Sunday, we know that God is not unrighteous. Amen. God is righteous. And the scripture said, he says in Genesis 18 chapter, when Abraham was negotiating, if you want to call that, with God concerning whether or not he would spare the city of Sodom and Gomorrah for Lot's sake. And he started off, if there are 50, will you spare the city? And he negotiated all the way down to, if there's 10, will you spare the city? And then Abraham concluded, he said, Lord, you will not slay the righteous with the wicked. Can we just say hallelujah? So whatever is going on, we know God will not slay the righteous with the wicked. And Abraham says, shall not the judge of all the earth do what? Right. So we're living in a dangerous time, but God always separates between the godly and the ungodly. Amen. When Israel was in Egypt, remember when the plague, in the beginning, they all were part of the plague. But then when God got ready, he separated his people. So what was happening in Egypt did not take place in Goshen because God protected his people. So we know that we're living in a dangerous time. And as a church and as a people, we should be alert and aware of what's going on. But we should always be aware of the fact that God has never allowed the righteous to be forsaken. Neither has he allowed the seed to be for bread. So we're aware of it. We should be conscious of it. Amen. We don't just sit back and do nothing, but nevertheless, in the end, God always separates. Can we say hallelujah? Amen. So we know that God is not unrighteous. Amen. And what has happened is the devil has, many of us, duped in our mind to think that everything bad is happening because God is mad at us. That is not true. As Zoe said on Sunday, for God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him, all you have to do is keep believing. No matter how the circumstances look like they're stacked against you, keep believing. Amen. So God is not unrighteous. God is not unfair. God, Paul tells Timothy that he is the righteous judge. Amen. He says the Lord is the righteous judge. And we know that the judge of the earth shall always do what? Right. Amen. But let us go, we go right into our study tonight. We're delve more into the fact that we can always depend on God. People may let you down, but God never fails. We can always count on God. Amen. So our scripture was, we read from Psalms 92, and I'm not going to read all of it. Once again, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5, and then skip down to 12 through 15. Now, this is the only psalm of all the 150 psalms that starts off with the heading, a song for the Sabbath day. Amen. So this was to be sung. God said, I want this song when? On the Sabbath day. And it reads, it is a what?
Good thing
to give. God says it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Well, why do we give thanks unto the Lord? Because God inhabits the what? Praises of his people. Amen. And to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. So it's not just in the morning, but it's an all-day thing. I was listening to, I believe it was Bishop James Johnson. You know, most of you don't know him. He's out of, I believe, out of St. Louis, Missouri. St. Bishop James Johnson, he went on to be with the Lord. But he said, one thing you should do, everybody, he should start your day off with prayer. Start your day off with prayer. He said, many times we get up, we just run, not acknowledging the Lord in all of our ways. He said, saints, and he was in his late 80s, almost 90, he said, you must start your day off with prayer. And also end your day with prayer. Because how many know how the adversary, who's the accuser of the brethren, is always standing to point a finger against us. So when you get up in the morning, the first thing you should do is thank God for keeping you through the night. And then you should say, Lord, I don't know what's ahead of today, but you know what's ahead. So Lord, I need you to guide me. I need you to lead me. And then when God has blessed and kept you all day long, at nighttime, I say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. Amen. So he said, when every morning and every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a song, with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me, Lord, I thank you. I'm not sad, but I am. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he's redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Now the question tonight, are you glad? Amen. If God is working in your life, you ought to be glad. Make me glad through thy works. I will triumph in the works of thy hand. Well, why am I glad? I'm glad because if God be for me, Lord, I bless your name. Who then can be against me? It might look like a million are coming against me. But I said before, if one put a thousand to flight and two put 10,000 to flight, I think we got more than two in here tonight. Right? So that's, if we do that exponentially, y'all already get into some math and all that. I ain't going to get into that for y'all too much. Right? But if one put 1,000, and two are put 10,000, so that means every number increases by what? 10,000. So three is going to put 100,000, right? So four is going to put what? Add a zero to that, that's what? Just keep adding zeros. So listen, if God is on our side, he's fighting our battle. It might look like the whole world is against us, but with God, we're going to win. Amen? Through thy hands, we will triumph. Oh Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. Now let's get down to verse 12. The righteous what? Wait a minute. The righteous shall flourish like a saints. We're not supposed to be surviving. We're supposed to be flourishing. Amen. We're supposed to be increasing. Amen. We're supposed to be spreading our wings. Because we are living right before God. He said, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. And the psalmist said, he shall be like a tree that's what? Planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in this season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth, I'm flourishing. Why? Because I'm in the house of God. Amen. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be, Lord, we bless your name. You got to be planted. You gotta be set. You gotta be firm. I'm planted. Let the winds come, let the storms blow, but I'm planted. And somebody said, I'll tell the world. Wherever I go, I found a what? Savior, and he is. Why? Because I'm planted in the house of the Lord, shall flourish in the course of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm old now. That doesn't change God. He's still supposed to bring us forth fruit. How many know, other than Gio, all of us old? Amen. Well, I thought all the things are old. Amen. Sister Carrie ain't old yet. Tanya ain't old yet. Lee ain't old yet. Y'all still in the baby ages still, I guess. But the rest of us, we're old, but we ought to still be fruitful. Amen. The Bible said we shall bring forth much fruit. Even in old age. So the world has taught us when you get a certain age, you just sit back in the reclining chair. God said, no, you keep working. Because even in your old age, I'm going to bless you. Even in old age, you're going to be fruitful. Don't go into retirement just because we're old. Amen. They used to say, what is our retirement? Our retirement is out of this world. As long as you're in this world, don't retire. So even in old age, you've got to be fruitful. Matter of fact, we were in Georgia, Bishop Guthrie, he's Bishop Guthrie Emeritus now. He's 92 years old. And they had him speak we had a communion service. He preached. After 52 minutes, he was getting ready to get loose. Like, 92. Still bringing forth fruit. He was getting ready to get loose. And the bishop was like, pulled on his coat. No, you gotta stop. He said, well, I ain't opened my Bible yet. So he preached an hour. Then got ready to open his Bible. They said, no, your time is up. Right? Because even in old age, he was fruitful. We don't, the church, we don't allow the world to set our standards. Amen. So just because you reach a certain age, as long as you got God's Spirit in you, His Spirit does what? It quickens us. What does it mean? It makes us alive. It makes us useful. So don't go to retirement yet. To show that the Lord is upright. He is. You know what the scripture is saying? It said, listen, as long as the Lord is in your life, He's a rock. On this rock I stand. All other ground is, as long as we're on the rock, and who's the rock? Jesus is the rock. As long as we're on the rock, He said, you don't have to worry about anything. So the psalmist is saying, the Lord is upright. As long as I'm on this rock, I don't have to worry. Well, why don't you have to worry? Because there is no unrighteousness in Him. Now, I'm trying to break down each portion of this last scripture, which was our pivotal scripture for when we got our thought, there's no unrighteousness in God. How many know that? How many can say it from the depth of your soul? You know there's no unrighteousness in God. But how many of us think God is cheating us? Because if you're doing for God and you feel as though God is not rewarding you, you're saying that God is cheating you. A lot, as I said on Sunday, a lot of people started out running for Jesus, but they went into a spiritual retirement because they don't feel as though God has rewarded them for their labor. Amen? So the psalmist said, to show is the Hebrew word neged. It means properly to place up high, make conspicuous, so it's not hidden. It is seen, conspicuous. Boldly declare, like announcing, which has real significance. So I'm going to tell you something that you can put in your book and use it. Amen. It has real significance. Use of expounding, making a message clearly. Making a message what? So he said, I want you to get this message clearly. Especially with the revelation, otherwise it wouldn't be understood. So he said, I'm going to declare, I want you to understand this for sure. that the Lord is upright. Upright is the Hebrew word yasher, which means straight, right, means to be smooth, without deviation, hence without flaws. How many know God is perfect?
Yes.
The scripture says all his works are perfect. So the Lord is upright and he is a rock. Rock is the Hebrew word sure, which means a rock wall. Figuratively, one cannot. Jesus is my Savior, and I shall not be moved. I'm just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I, in his loving favor, I shall not be moved. So Jesus is the rock that cannot be moved, removed or ignored. A refuge affording enduring Lord, thank you. As long as you trust in God, you don't have to question it. It's what kind of protection? Unshakable protection because of his sure foundation, making it immovable. Preeminently used of the Lord, providing absolute stability in this life. And another comparison he used is it's like a stone rock mountain. This is what Jesus is, like a stone rock mountain. Any of you ever seen pictures of the Grand Canyon and the stones and the rock? Is it God is just that dependable? He's a rock. Now there is no what? Unrighteousness in God. And I believe the way that the saints get messed up so many times is they take their eyes off of God. And they begin to look at one another, and they begin to look at people in church, and then they judge God based on people. We cannot judge God based on people because God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. As God said it, shall he not do it? And if he spoken, shall he not make it good? So he is not unrighteous. Unrighteous is the Hebrew word avlah. It's evil in the art of mispersuasion, like using false measures and weight. Injustice, unrighteous, wrong. And one of the things that said, this unrighteous means like you're in God's courtroom. God is the judge. And how many know that when God judges a situation, he never makes a mistake? When God judges a situation, he don't need the Supreme Court to come behind him and overturn it because of error. Because in God's courtroom, he always makes the right decision. Amen. But Proverbs 11:1 said, now we know a false balance is what? An abomination to the Lord, but a just way to assist your life. Now, in this false is the Hebrew word mirmah, which means beguile, to mislead, to get over on someone by. God will never try to get over on us by deceit. God is perfect in all of his ways. He's truthful. He is honest. All right? Pulling a trick, using misimpressions, hoping someone. God said, listen, that's an abomination. Amen. Even when we come to church, a false balance is a what? Abomination before God. So we cannot come to church and give God all ungodliness and think we can reap godliness. Amen. We cannot come to church and give God all flesh and think we can reap of the Spirit. God said there has to be a proper balance because a just man is his what? Delight. Amen? Now, let's go down to balance. Balance is the Hebrew word mozen, the measuring weights needed to use accurately and used to measure accurately and fairly. Merchants, however, sometimes cheated customers by using two sets of weight. And we're talking about a false balance that's an abomination before the Lord. Amen? One for buying, which were lighter than it should be, and one overly heavy for selling. Right? So a false balance is this. They weren't honest. They were cheaters. So everybody ever seen the balance scale? Like here on the court, they have the balance scale of justice. I think we need to revisit that. Right? Because there are some injustices. My wife and I watched a program the other night of a man that was sentenced for a death, sentenced to death. He was in jail for 22 years and not one shred of evidence against him. How do you sentence somebody to death without any evidence? Amen. And everybody said, we've heard it over and over. Yeah, we know you're innocent. But then he convinced someone, he convinced one of the better attorney firms to look at his records. And when they looked at it, they're like, wait a minute, how did you all even convict this guy? Yeah. Everything is contrary. That's why I said the balance of justice needs to be reweighed in America. Amen? But a false balance is when you try to cheat someone. Aren't we all so glad we're honest? This is tax season, then y'all be honest. Don't use no false balance. Amen? Be truthful. Be honest. Because the Bible said, no, but surely your sin will find you out. All right, so that's balance. So Hebrews 6:10 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. You know how many people in church stop doing anything for God because they don't feel as though God is rewarding them? Man can't reward you. Listen, man does not reward you. God rewards you. Because God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Some people say, I'm not doing anything else in church because I don't get recognized. God never forgets you. So you need to change that mindset. That's not of God. Well, if God forgot you, then God becomes unrighteous. But there is no unrighteousness in God. All right, so now we're going to look at unrighteous from the Greek. Unrighteous in the Greek is the Greek word adikos, which is an adjective derived from a, which means no, and dike, adike, which means justice. So unrighteous means no justice. Amen? Without justice, unjust, because violating what God approves, divinely disapproved, describes what is found guilty in God's court of law. That is, as a binding legal infraction against his law, calling for the divine retribution for disrespecting his justice. That's what unrighteous means. So how can God, who is the judge, be declared unfair or unrighteous in his own courtroom? So many people have stopped working for God. Now they said, and that they have ministered and what? Do minister. And my wife and I was talking, so a whole lot of people talk about what they used to do. But this scripture is from the past, it's the present, and it is also the too many saints are living on what they used to do. Well, God is not unrighteous. Forget your work of love and what you have done. Thank God for that. What you are doing and what you are going to do. Right? So many have stopped, went into spiritual retirement. Do everything else, but not for God. God said, I'm not unrighteous. I saw what you did. I remember what you did. I will reward you in my own time. Amen? And later on, we'll go over that a little more. All right? So the forget is the Greek word. I tried to get this one. Y'all just read that for yourself. All right? Epilem, though no mark. I listened to it. I still couldn't get it. Man, them Greeks are really good. All right? But if it means unfitting, and Lethano means unnoticed. So your work with God will not be unnoticed. Properly means God won't overlook, stressing the effects that go with failing to notice as an anticipation, amen, of Lanthano, all right, focuses on the consequences that build on forgetting. There's another aspect of forget when it comes to our walk with God. So before I get to that, God has not forgotten anything you've done. So don't get mad at God and stop doing it. God will reward you in your own time. I jump ahead. The Bible says, and we'll get to it in Jeremiah 31:16. He said, be faithful to God, because your word not might be rewarded, but shall be rewarded. Keep working for God. Don't go in retirement. Don't allow the adversary to play in the playgrounds of your mind saying, what's the use? God sees everything you do. What I like about God in Revelation said, everything, every deed we've done is written in the book. Everything we've done is written in the book. And God's going to reward us according to our faithfulness. Amen? So there's another aspect of forgetting when it comes to walking with God. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but this, if saints could ever do this, if saints ever do this, you know, we won't be living in yesterday. Amen?
Amen.
If we can just forget about the, right? Forgetting the things which are what? Behind us. So many won't go forward in God because they are strangled or imprisoned to the past. We need to let the past go. We need to press forward in God. We need to tell the devil every time he tries to bring up our past, say, you're a devil liar. I know what God has spoken to me. So God won't forget you. Amen?
Yes.
Forget is a strong Greek term used of a Greek runner completely forgetting about his opponent whom he is leading in the race. Just as a runner's speed is slackened, should he think of those behind him and the thud-thud of their pounding feet. Any of y'all ever run track? Anybody ever run track? What your track coach tell you? Don't worry about what's behind you, right? Because if you're running forward and every time you look back, guess what you're doing? You're losing speed. Right? So what this illustration is getting about forgetting behind, he said every time we remember what's behind, we're losing speed. We're no longer progressing. We become stagnant in our faith. Why? Because we're focusing too much on what's behind us. Amen. Jesus said it this way, no man ever put his hand to the plow doing what?
Amen.
Is thin. For you can't go forward looking backwards.
Yes.
Amen. You got to keep your eyes on the prize. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
So the Christian's onward progress is hindered should he dwell on the past full of failures and sins. Full of heartaches and discouragement. Full of disappointments and thwarted hopes and plans. As long as a Christian has made things right with God and man, he should completely
get it
right. If you haven't made it right, then get it right. If you got it right, then why are you back there? Jesus, the Word of God says in the book of Hebrews, your sins and your iniquities, God said, I will. And I can't tell you what saints are going to do. Right? I can't tell you about saints. God said, I don't remember it. But many of us have placed ourselves in a spiritual prison because of people. Listen, if God be for you, who can be against you? You know, we need to shake some of this stuff off of our backs. As saints, we need to go forward. Amen. And one of the things is, a lot of times people start for God, then they stop. Why they stop? Because they start looking back. God can't bless you looking backwards. One of our slides on our PowerPoint is, don't look in your rearview mirror. Stop focusing on the past. Hurts, pains of the past won't do anything but put you in prison. You gotta loose that and let it go. Let me ask you this. How many have increased or become more profitable for God by looking behind them? Nobody. So you got to let stuff go. Well, it happened yesterday. That's still the past. If it happened this afternoon, guess what? It's the past. So what we allow the devil to do is he keeps bringing the past in our face, and instead of us looking unto Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith, we keep looking back. And then we wonder, why can't I grow spiritually? You need to get out the past. But works. All right, so now you did work, and you're still working. Work is the Greek word ergon. It means to accomplish. A work or worker accomplishing something. Ergon work is typically a deed, action that carries out inner desire and an intention and purpose. Our inner desire should always be right, because what's shed abroad in our heart? The Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is in us. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So our inner desire should be spiritual if we feed our spiritual man. But if we feed our carnal man, our inner desire will be carnal. Amen. Remember the Indian proverb? He said, I got two dogs fighting in me. And he couldn't, this is the way he explained it to the Christian missionary. He said, I got two dogs fighting in me. So the Christian missionary asked, well, which dog win? And we know the answer is what?
The one I feed the most.
So you have two natures. One is spiritual and one is carnal. Which one wins? The spiritual is fed by prayer, fasting, and doing the word for God and reading the Bible. The carnal is just coexisting in this world. Whatever man you feed the most, that's the one that's going to dominate your actions. Amen? Words and scriptures are commanded and rewarded by, can we read this together? Words and scripture are what? Commanded and rewarded by the pastor. By the elders in the church. Who are they rewarded by? So my question is, if God rewards us, why do we stop working for God because man didn't reward us? All right, I know I'm stepping on toes for this one. Our reward is not from man, but our reward is from who?
God.
He says in the book of Deuteronomy, in 28 chapter, he said, the blessing will overtake the work as long as we are what? Obedient. The blessing will overtake the work. Now there's consequences to being disobedient. Because if you're disobedient, then the curse overtakes the work. If you're obedient, then the blessing overtakes the work. Now you judge your own life. You know how you're living. You know whether you're blessed or whether you're troubled. Stop feeding the wrong one. We need to feed our inner spiritual man. Amen. Accordingly, faith and good works, God-approved works, always. Faith and what kind of works? Always go together. Well, the reason many of us feel so God's unrighteous is because we don't have faith and we don't have good works, but we want God to bless us in spite of it. God can't bless you unless you're walking in faith with good works. Can the church say, praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Works have what kind of meaning? Eternal meaning. When they proceed from faith. That is as the specific. So a lot of people are working in church, but it's not in faith. They're working in church because I don't want nobody to see nothing or look at me wrong. That's not to God. That's to man. Amen. Whatsoever we do, the Bible said, do hardly as unto the people in church, to the bishops, the apostles. Whatever we do hardly as unto who? Knowing of the Lord Jesus, we receive the rewards of the inheritance. So whatever we should do it hardly as unto the Lord. As y'all see, I couldn't put everything in here, so y'all just say with me. Amen. So whatever we do, we're supposed to do it hardly as unto the Lord and not unto man. Works will have eternal meaning when they proceed from faith. That is, as the specific outward expression of faith believing. Works done merely in human strength are, if you're just doing it by yourself, it is fruitless because Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. The reason many of us are not reaping the benefits is because many of our works, we have left the Lord out. Amen. That is, when they originate from self, are done by self. When our works originate out of self and are done by self, they are doomed to fail. They are doomed not to be fruitful. Why? Because God has to always be in the center of everything we do. The minute we work and leave God out, God said, I won't bless you. Just think, if God blesses us when we're wrong, we'll never get right. So God said, your blessing is here, but I'm holding back the blessing until you get right. Once you start working with the right mind, the right attitude, the right spirit, God said, I'll bless you. But as long as you're working with the wrong motive, God said, I can't bless you. Because a man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So labor, I didn't put it there, but it's the Greek word kopos, K-O-P-O-S, if you want to write it in, primarily denotes a striking beating. Then toil, resulting in weariness, laborious toil, or trouble. So your work and labor. So somebody said, well, I did work in church. Where's your labor? Where's your toil? Amen. Where are you at when everybody else is gone? These are personal things that we have to decide. How good has God been to you? The psalmist said, what shall I render unto God for what? As good as God has been to me, I'm not going to shortchange God. I might shortchange you, but when it comes to God, I don't want to shortchange God. Why? Because of all the benefits that he's blessed me with. Show is the Greek word endekadmi. It means which intensifies, shows properly, make fully evident. So your work, somebody said, well, you just don't see it. God said, listen, if you're working with the right spirit, it is evident. Everybody can see it. Amen. Even if you do it and nobody's here, somebody come in and say, hey, somebody did something somewhere. Because it's evident. If you're working and ain't evident, the fault is not in God. Can we say praise the Lord? Showing conspicuous proof to demonstrate something as undeniable. The prefix in as to mention abiding condition, whether showing forth is on open display. For what? For some to see. You know, our purpose in coming to church, we're not coming to church to beat each other up, but we're coming to be right with God. If you're right with God, God will bless you. Right? The Bible says we are to receive with what? Meekness. The engrafted word, because it's able to save our soul. I believe many times when we come to church, we don't come with meekness. We come with grumbling attitude. Then we wonder when we leave church. I didn't get nothing out of church. God was all over everybody but you. That's a problem. Amen? How can God be over everybody else and blessing everybody else and their spirit is lifted and yours is still heavy? Wrong attitude. Amen. God can only bless the right spirit. That's why David out there says, the Lord created within me a what? And a what kind of spirit? Right spirit. We want to be pleasing to God. We have to have our hearts right and our spirits right. God won't bless us otherwise. Amen? And all this we're doing for the church, for his name. Everything we do is for his name. Colossians says, whatever you do in word and in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everything we do ought to be for his name. So I believe sometimes we need to reevaluate what we've been doing, why we've been doing it, and for who we've been doing it. If you're doing it for Jesus, listen, I tell the Lord all the time, Lord, if you don't give me a house, if you don't give me, my wife might not say this, but I have to say this. If you don't give me a house, if you don't give me a car, if you don't give me $1 million, give me my health. Because money can't buy health. Right. So I just want my, God, I thank you. I keep working because you give me good health. Amen. I have to mess with the doctor every once in a while, but it's just when I feel like it. He called me like 5 times, and you keep missing your appointments. Yeah, I know that. All right, but I'm just saying, right? I'm thanking God he's blessed me with good health. And then he's always so blessed me with the mind to eat better. All right, let's keep on. His name. Name is the Greek word onoma. All right, it means the manifestation or revelation of character, distinguishing it from others. Name is inseparable from the person to whom it belongs in Hebrew. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. At the name. Whatever we do, we should do it in his name. There's power in the name. Our problem is we lose the essence of name. In the Old Testament, especially in Hebrew, your name also reflected your character. Your name reflects your character. So name is very important. We don't have time to go all the way to Adam was called Adam because he came from the earth. So the name reflects the character. Isaac was called Isaac because Abraham and Sarah laughed. Right? So your name reflects the character. So name means something in the Hebrew. Like today, I mean, you ask me, some of these parents, how y'all name your kids? And the kids can't even say their name until they become a teenager. That's a bad deal. I'm serious. Kids have to use shortcuts to say their name. Girls, parents make them mess their names up, but nevertheless, keep going. All right, so names are important. So it says, have ministered and do minister. Is diakoneo, means to serve, refers to caring for the needs of others as the Lord guides. Amen. As the Lord guides my wife, the Lord guided my wife the other night. She said, we got to do such and such. I said, okay. Well, I found out he was guiding us. I said, oh, wait a minute. That's like a little far. He guided me the wrong way. We got our prayer at 7, we got home at 10. But God is good. Can we say praise the Lord? You know what? God was guiding her. I eventually got on board, but he was not guiding me. But part of working for God is not always what we want to do. Amen. What did I say? Forgive him, Father. I was mad, though, this time. Like, I want my wife who came from Georgia, but she had me going back 100 miles selling the wings. It was necessary. It was necessary. But what I'm saying, the Lord guides. So sometimes he won't guide you, but if he guides someone else, just get on board. I just got on board, right? Way on board. Nevertheless, God is good. Especially in an active, practical way. With believers, their diakoneo, to serve means to can we read this together? Means to what? All right, some of y'all read that. Everybody read it. Y'all read me? Y'all need a microphone so I can hear y'all? It means to do what? You don't have to force. You don't have to coerce. I do it loud. Voluntarily assist. This is what ministry means. I voluntarily assist. Meeting the needs of people with a grumbling surface. A fussing surface. A bad countenance. We're ministering. When you minister, it should be what kind of service? Joyful service through faith. Diakoneo is active, willing service and not coerced. Have ministered and do ministers show a continuation without letting up our gaps in between. Saints, and we're ministering to the needs of who? The saints. Saints hagios means different, unlike otherness. Holy in relationship to believers. Hagios refers to the likeness of the nature with the Lord. Hagios also means holy. We know that, right? Means holy. Hagios. They are also different from the world. Hagios is an adjective in the phrase. The Holy Spirit is the one absolutely different, other, and transform believers to be holy, set apart, different from the world. A saint is merely someone who has become different from the world through salvation. And now set apart as holy, because sanctified, made like the Lord. When you're sanctified, you're set apart for God's use. This progresses as the believer advances in the process of developing in holiness. Amen. Now, we're talking about what works, in that they have ministered and do minister. So Jeremiah 31:15 said, thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. This is speaking of when Judah was taken into Babylon. Amen. And the walls of Jerusalem were burnt with fire. The place was decimated. The only thing they left back were those that they considered to be not valuable or worthless. But God said, listen, even though when you look at it ocularly, it looks bad, thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice. Lord, this is something we all can say to ourselves. Refrain thy voice from weeping and thy eyes. God said, you know what? It's like he told, remember Moses, when the people were fussing and complaining when they got to the Red Sea? Moses said, what God told Moses, he said, stop that crying, Moses. He said, get up and go forward. That's what we need to do now. We need to do what? Get up and go forward. He said, for thy word shall be. Just keep doing it. It might not look like God's going to make a way, but if God don't make a way, then that means God's a liar, because the Bible says we reap what we sow. So you keep sowing to the Spirit, God assures us you're going to reap of the Spirit. Amen? For thy word shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. God won't ever cheat us an unfailing reward, our works, our deeds. Ephesians 4:22-25 is a great scriptural definition of cheating. We will discuss unrighteousness in a little later. Ephesians 4:22 reads, that you put off concerning the
former conversation.
The what? I always, when I read this, this is like kind of puzzling. Because he's writing to who? The church. Right? Ephesians is to the church. So he said, the church, did you put off the former conversation of the old man? Well, I thought the old man went down in the water. So what happened? Some of the stuff in the water we brought back. Amen. We resurrected it. Put off concerning the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on damaged goods, right, old Caraway? What do you say? We are new creatures. Right? We should be the old man. We should be the new man, which y'all gotta help me. I messed up. Wait, hold on. I got the same page like 4 or 5 times. 6 times. Yeah. God, 7 times. What in the world? Well, I don't know why I'm at that. I'm at the. I know. I'm saying, wait a minute. I gotta see what. It's probably when Gio called me to go somewhere today. Just give me I think it's another movie. I'm going to switch up then. Huh? No, I can't use that because I see now I got the whole. That's why I should just turn my phone to mute when I'm studying. What page is that? Because I cannot use it by. What page?
Five.
That's all? Wow. We gotta get to 14, we gonna make it. All right, where we at? Sorry, that's right. I gotta go ahead and edit all this out. Where we at?
23.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, 24. And that you put on a new man, which after God has created in righteousness and righteousness is what's pleasing to God, amen. And true holiness, hagios. Wherefore put away lying. Speak every man. Isn't this something? Who's he writing to?
The church.
The church. He's telling the church, you need to stop being dishonest. You need to put away that lying. Book of Revelation said, all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burns with fire. All lying. Putting aside lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We see from this passage of scripture from Ephesians that cheating is
corrupt.
First is what? Corrupt, deceitful, lying, misrepresenting, cheating. You have to be corrupt. You're deceitful, you lie, and you misrepresent. So once again, this is tax season. Don't cheat. Be honest. Don't be deceitful. Don't lie. And most of all, don't misrepresent the truth. The priest also cheated according to the book of Malachi. One of the Bible's strongest warnings can be found in the book of Malachi. The first chapter of Malachi says God was disappointed in the priest. Amen. And we say, well, that's the Old Testament. Guess what today? We are also priests. We are a royal priesthood. Because they were cheating in their service to God. How did they cheat? God made it clear that all sacrifices to him had to be made with perfect animals. Amen. I should go back to my other. Perfect animals. Leviticus 22, 19 through 23 reads, ye shall offer at your own will a male. It had to be perfect. Of the beeves, of the sheep, or of the goats. But whatsoever have they, that shall not ye offer, for it shall not be
acceptable.
Now we're talking about that. The Bible said we're supposed to present our bodies and what kind of sacrifice? Living sacrifice. But are you just giving God what you want to give him, or are you giving God your best? What's a blemish is not the best. He said, if you don't give me your best, it's not acceptable. And whosoever offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a freewill offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be. If you got to give God the best you have, not the best someone else has, but the best you have to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein, blind or broken or maimed or having a wind or scurvy or scab. Ye shall not offer these unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar of the Lord. So now we're talking about our works and what we're giving God. Amen? Amen. We're supposed to give God our best. Either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his part, that mayest thou offer for a freewill offering, but for a vow it shall not. But these priests were cheating by sacrificing imperfect animals. Now the question is, what are we sacrificing? Are we giving God our best? Are we giving God something that is imperfect? Amen. That is the question tonight. What are you giving God? Your best? Are you giving something that is imperfect? Amen. Amen. But these priests were cheating by sacrificing imperfect animals. It's one thing to think you can get away with pulling a fast one on your teacher, your pastor, or someone else. But on God, can we pull a fast one on God? He sees everything. God knows everything. And before you pulled the trick, God already knew it, because he knows the end from the beginning. What were these guys thinking? Malachi 1, 6 through 14 says the priests despised God's name by offering polluted sacrifices. Responding to this charge, the priest said, polluted sacrifices? When have we ever done a thing like that? God answered, every time you say, don't bother bringing anything very valuable to offer to God. Amen. When you don't give God something valuable, you're cheating God. You're giving God something polluted. You tell the people, lame animals are all right to offer on the altar of the Lord. Yes, even the sick and the blind ones. And you claim this is an evil? Now let's go to Malachi and see what he says. He says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And you say, when have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon my altar. And you say, when have we polluted thee? And that you say, the table of the Lord is? Well, how do we say this? You offer the blind for sacrifice. Is it not? Listen, when we give God anything, he said, this is evil. And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? He said, now if you want to do that, offer it unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God, that he will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? I don't care what your position is. God won't regard you if you're giving God second best. Amen. You know, it's like, well, I just give this to God because it's no good for me anyway. You got to give God the best. Who is that even among you that will shut the doors for naught? Neither do you climb on my altar, God says, for naught. I have no pleasure in you, said the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun, even to the going down of the same, my name, my what?
Name.
My name, because the name is synonymous with the person. My name shall be great with among the Gentiles. And in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But you have profaned it, and that you say the table of the Lord is polluted. And the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. He said also, behold, what a weariness it is it? And ye have, this is like turning your nose up at God. You snuffed at it. Said the Lord of hosts, and ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, said the Lord? But God said, listen, you know you had something you could have gave me better, but you tried to deceive me. You tried to pull the wool over on my eyes. God said, you know, and this is what's confusing. God blesses us with stuff. God blesses us with the best. Then we cheat God and give him something that's inferior. Isn't that an insult? Right? As a parent, if you give your child something great, and then your child give you an attitude. What do you say? You say, you ungrateful thing? Y'all know how we are. Y'all ever say that? Ungrateful? God said, you're ungrateful. Because I'm giving you the best. But you're not reciprocating what I'm giving you by giving me the best. Amen? He said, you stuff that it says the law of hosts. You brought that which is torn. Oh no. But cursed be the deceiver which has in his flock a male. In other words, you got what I want. You know what you're supposed to give God. You're supposed to give God that which is the best. But, he said, the sacrifice of the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, said the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Now let's keep going to Malachi 2. We won't get through this, but we'll get far enough. The Lord willing, we can finish it next week. All right. But what we're dealing with is, the reason that many of us feel through this unrighteousness in God is not the false God in God, it's what we're giving God. Right? What are we offering unto God? God says, I'm giving you my best. When God gave us salvation, when he gave us Jesus, he gave us his best. How are we reciprocating what God has given to us? Are we giving him our best? Just think daily, what are you giving God? Malachi 2:1 reads, and now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If ye will not, Lord, we bless your name. Listen, let us give an ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And if you will not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, the way we glorify God is our attitude in giving, and our attitude in service. Amen. If you come to service with a bad attitude, God says, whoa, 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 whoa. You need to go back out the doors. Go back, you ever see those commercials where they put everything in reverse? God said, I'm about to put you in reverse. I'm going to make you start all over and you come in right. You can't come to church giving God a nasty disposition. Same speak to you. Y'all don't do that. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? How are you giving that to God after God has given you his best? How do you come to God with that kind of attitude? And then in the back of your mind, you say, God, I don't care what anybody has done to you, you don't give that to God. God didn't do it to you. He said, what iniquity have you found in me? We should give God our best, but let's keep moving. All right. If he were not here, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a... Well, why are we being blessed? Because of what we're giving God, how we're presenting to God. God said, I'm not going to bless you until you get it right. So he said, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Ye have cursed them. Why? Because of your attitude. The way you're presenting, the way you give it to God. Because you do not lay it to heart. Let's get down to verse. But ye have departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at. He talked to the priest. He said, because people are watching you, and because you're messing up, you're causing others to stumble at my law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, said the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. From Malachi 1:6 to Malachi 2:9, the prophet reproves the priests and the people for sacrificing what was worthless or useless. We are to give God, can we say, the best?
Yes.
And rejecting a beast and denounces a punishment against the former for not teaching the people their duty in this respect. It might be tempting to think, okay, some old priest cheated God thousands of years ago. What does that have to do with us today? I know the right name, right? I just corrected you. I'll fix it. Well, a lot, actually. As Christians, we are priests too. 1 Peter 2:5 says, ye also as living stone are built up in what kind of house? And holy priesthood to offer up that are what? Acceptable. Whatever we give to God should be acceptable by Jesus Christ. Amen. I think I'm never going to get to the rest of this. I'm going to finish this section here, and then Lord willing, we'll pick up the rest next week. All right. I assigned one of my elders to teach it. My elders like cheating on me. He said, oh, can I do my own thing? No. Yes, you can. Oh, look at Max, no, you ain't talking about me. No, I won't get it. I'll finish it next week. Let's just finish this. How many of us want the best from God?
Amen.
Think, what are you giving God? All right, seriously, what are you giving God? You want the best from God, but what are you giving God? Amen. What is our mind predisposed or consumed with? Amen. And as priests, we're supposed to give God our best work. He doesn't want any polluted sacrifices. Instead, he wants us to be living sacrifices. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Paul said, I'm begging you. To beseech means to implore, it means to beg. I'm earnestly asking you. I'm not just saying it superficially. He said, I'm asking you. I'm beseeching. I'm imploring you. Amen. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present a what? Give God as a living sacrifice the best. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. At first glance, cheating may not seem as big a deal as offering God a polluted sacrifice. But as Christians, we should think of all of our actions, big or little, religious, spiritual or not, as what? Living sacrifice to God. Let's stop there. Everything we do, all of our actions, are sacrifices to God. Do you know everything that every last one of us do, somebody sees us? God always has someone watching us. Everything we say, all of our attitudes, all of our disposition, the way we treat one another, somebody is always watching us. Amen. So my wife, kids always mess with me, but they used to say, I used to make a lot of faces, thank God, used to. Well, I had to change that because people are watching me. So I have to conscientiously, wait, I might slip up every once in a while. Huh? I have to conscientiously try not to make faces. So the other day, my wife was making faces. She said, she got it from me. But what I'm saying, if we have to conscientiously put forth effort, because everything we do is a sacrifice that God is watching. And not only is God watching it, but others are watching. So we can act like a hellion in the store over a little thing, and then go outside and witness to somebody come to church. Guess what? Today, they're going to come to your church. Because they just watch how you act. And because of how you act, they assume everybody in church act like you act. That is your sacrifice. Driving a car is your sacrifice. The way you talk to people in your neighborhood is your sacrifice. The way you deal with situations on your job is your sacrifice. The way you deal with your relatives and family is your sacrifice. I don't care how common you know them, you cannot, that does not give you a right or law to act ungodly. Everything we do is our sacrifice. So when I'm dealing with people, in the back of our mind, we should say, this is my sacrifice. I'm supposed to be giving God my best. If we give God our best, we'll stop acting ugly. Amen? Because that is your sacrifice. And you cannot pull the wool over God's eyes. God knows all of our motives. Paul said, I can give my body to be burned, bestow all my goods to feed the poor, but if I don't do it with the right motives, it profits me nothing. We need to change our dispositions. We need to change our attitude. Even in dealing with one another, we need to change because God is watching us. And when you offer something, I remember Bishop G.T. Haywood said this. I know when you offer something, I can finish, but that's right. I got to switch my other stuff. Bishop G.T. Haywood said this, and it's so true. He said, the way you treat one another is the way you treat God. The way we treat one another is the way you treat God. Why? He's in us. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So the way I treat you, that's the way I treat God. The way you treat me, that's the way I treat God. The way a spouse treats their spouse, that's the way you treat God. The way parents treat their children, that's the way you treat God. So we need to change how the world has impacted us to act ungodly. We need to change that. Amen. We want God to be glorified in all that we say and do. Not just in church. Your real life that you live is not in church, because in church everybody puts forth their best foot. Your real life that you live is when you leave outside the door. That's why the scripture says, let your light so shine before the saints. You're supposed to let your light shine before who? So that they may see your and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So everything we do, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We're supposed to let it shine. I don't care if who you're dealing with, what you're dealing with, where you're going, where you, if you're walking down the street, if you're walking down the street and somebody walks in front of you, you just say, praise the Lord. Imagine it seriously. Because God is watching your attitude. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on the hill that cannot be hid. You are the salt of the earth. So everything you do should reflect God and not yourself. We've been brought within Christ. We are not our own. We don't belong to ourselves. God brought us. So can we change? If we change the way we act, then we won't feel as though God is unrighteous and cheating us, because God has given us what we're given out. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now you review your life. See what you've been reaping. Then see what you've been sowing. Right? See what you've been reaping. See what you've been reaping. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Amen. Now, I'm sure all y'all got something to say. Amen. Let's give y'all the mic.